Well, folks, I have a confession to make this morning. They say confession is good for the soul, right? All right, so I'm going to confess to all of you this morning that I am a night owl. I'm most awake in the evening and at nighttime. So I thought when Jeanette and I had children that I said, no problem. This whole late night thing with kids, I got this. No worries, honey. This is on me. Well, however, I did not realize that though I am a night owl, once I'm asleep, I'm gone. I am worthless once I fall asleep. Once I'm down for the night, a dump truck could drive through the living room, and I would not hear it. So I confess that Jeanette handled most of the overnight feedings for us when the kids were little. Otherwise, she'd have to nudge me, Michael, the baby needs feeding. And I'd say, okay, I'm going. Which is the correct thing to say, yes, ladies? That's the right thing to say. However, the only problem was my body didn't follow my mouth. It rebelled and stayed in bed. Okay, I'm going. Fully intending somewhere in my brain to get up. But my body refused. Always said I was going, but I stayed put. I was terrible in the overnight. There was one time when Johanna had come along, and again, Jeanette was handling most of the overnight feedings, and one night Ethan had a problem, had a nightmare as he came into our room, and so I overheard them in my sleep. I kind of overheard them talking, and Jeanette was taking care of him, and I thought, oh, my dear wife. She takes care of Johanna all the time, and now she's helping Ethan. I should really get up and help out. And then it dawned on me. I thought, oh, wait, I can't do anything there. I'm already holding the baby right now. I'm holding Johanna. I'm already helping. Then a second later, my sleep-brained fog lifted, and I thought, I'm not holding the baby. That's a pillow. I was just completely worthless in the overnights. I always wanted to go, always wanted to help, but I didn't. Well, we finished our sermon series on the Great Controversy. And last week, we celebrated Jesus' resurrection. Amen. And now the week that comes after Easter, it can almost feel like in church, now what? What do we do now? Well, this morning, we're going to start a three-part sermon series on the mission of God's church. In this series, we're going to try to discover what we're supposed to be doing now. What are God's followers supposed to do after the resurrection? So to learn the mission of the church today, we're going to study what happened after the resurrection. So if you have your Bibles, open them up. Let's look through them together. If you've got them electronically, click them on, get those batteries rolling, and go to Matthew chapter 28. Now, most times when we're talking about the resurrection, we tend to end at a beautiful verse. And we tend to end in Matthew 28, verse 6. It's such a beautiful place to end where the angel says, "He is not here, for he is risen." What a great ending, amen? But that's actually just the beginning. Just the beginning. The angel instructs us as to the mission of Jesus' followers. In Matthew 28, verse 7, right after saying he's risen, he says to the ladies, "And go quickly, tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." So what's our mission today? The mission for the ladies was, go. I don't know if years ago you ever watched the TV show or later they made movies out of it. They called it Mission Impossible. Have you heard of that one? At the start of the movie or the show, there would be a recording that would always tell the Mission Impossible agent what he or she or what they were supposed to do. And it always, in that phrase, said, "Here is your mission, if you choose to accept it." the mission from God after the resurrection is go. Will we choose to accept it? Well, let's look and see what the women did with this good news and with the instruction to go. Verse 8 says, so they went. They went quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and they ran to bring his disciples the word. So the short answer is, they went. They followed the instructions. Now, have you ever had to be told more than once to go do something? Has that happened to you before? Some of our folks here in the congregation actually served in the armed forces years ago. For those of you who served our country in the armed forces, when your commanding officer would tell you to do something, how many times did he have to tell you to do it? Yeah, just once. And you went and you did it. Doesn't work like that in most households today, I've discovered as a parent. We got some parents here today. How many of you have to say, I'm going to repeat some phrases here. How many of you have to say these phrases multiple times? Something like, go clean your room. Do you say that just once and it gets done? Or, time to go and do your homework. They drop everything and go do it? Or do you have to say it more than once? Here's one of our favorites, time to get off electronics. Do you have to say that multiple times? Or the most dreaded one, time to go to bed. Moms and dads, do you say that just once? Boys and girls, do you hear it just once and immediately jump to, like a commanding officer? Not so much. Sometimes we need to hear go from our heavenly parent more than once too. Well, if one no is not enough, and I think it was for the ladies, but just in case it wasn't, Jesus decides to give him a second go. So if you'll follow me down, Matthew 28, verse 9. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, rejoice. So they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. Then he said to them, do not be afraid, go. Go and tell. Jesus appears again and tells the women to go. Go and tell the disciples. Did the ladies go? Did they follow the angels and Jesus' command? Well, Matthew actually doesn't tell us specifically, but it's implied in verse 16. Because in verse 16 it says, then the 11 disciples went away in the Galilee, which is exactly what the women told them to do from Jesus. Christ's command was go and tell. Do you think he's done telling people to go? Friends, I don't think Jesus is done telling his followers to go. And he wasn't even back then. If you follow me down to verse 18, right as Jesus is getting ready to leave this planet, he says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. This time, Jesus again talks about going, although he actually says it in a very strange way. All your Bibles are going to translate it, go. But literally what Jesus says to them as he's getting ready to leave the world is he says, having gone therefore, he doesn't even tell them to go, he says, having gone therefore, he just knows they're going to go. So at this point, he doesn't have to tell them. He says, now as you're going, having gone therefore, what are you supposed to do? Now he expands upon this mission of going. So what's the mission? Make disciples. Baptize them. He's talking about bringing others into the fellowship. Amen? Teach them, he says. Teach them what I taught you. Teach them that there's a better way to live. Amen? Well, now scholars and pastors have written books and sermons about the mission of the church. But the mission of the church is given right after the resurrection. And simply put, the mission is go. Did the disciples go? Or were they like Pastor Michael laying in bed? I'm going. Did they go? Yes, they did. They weren't like me, always intending to get up and go, but never moving. They went. And the book of Acts shows us that the disciples did go. And the Holy Spirit helped them to go. In Acts chapter 2, the Spirit is poured out on the disciples. And with flames of fire, and at Pentecost, they go out and they preach. And what was the result of their preaching? 3,000 people came into the faith. The story goes on in Acts chapter 8. Philip is told, get up and go. And he does Bible studies with an Ethiopian eunuch. And that Ethiopian eunuch gets baptized. And then the Bible says he goes his way rejoicing in Acts chapter 8. Do you think maybe this gentleman from Ethiopia, do you think when he got back to his country, do you think he told some others about what had happened to him on that road? One Bible study can change not just a life, it can change a country. In Acts chapter 9, verse 11, God tells Ananias, he says, get up and go and find Saul of Tarsus. And the result of Ananias' ministry, all we find in the Bible, his whole ministry that's recorded in the Bible, he gets one convert. That's it. That one convert is Saul of Tarsus, who is changed from Saul into Paul. And then God told Paul, go and spread the good news everywhere. Ananias got one, but boy, what a one he got with his ministry. Acts chapter 10, God gives a vision to Peter, and that vision teaches Peter, go even to the Gentiles and share the good news. Friends, good things happen when God's people get up and go. And the mission for the church in the 21st century is the same as it was in the first century. Because when you read in Revelation chapter 14, verse 6, it talks about the three angels' messages. And the first angel flies and he has the everlasting gospel. And what does he do with it? He takes it to the world, preaches it to every nation, tongue, people, and kindred. The mission is go. Go to the whole world. That's why I'm thrilled that we're a part of a church that has programs like Christian Record Services that reaches the whole world to help the blind see Jesus. I'm excited about a church that has programs like ADRA that goes and helps people with disasters. But what about us? What about us here at Piedmont Park? Are we supposed to go? Now, is it easy to go? Yeah, let's be honest. Another confession from Pastor Michael. This is years ago, back when I was the youth pastor here at the church, student pastor at Union. My mentor was Pastor Myers, and he had a whole stack of cards of people who in the community had asked for a book from It Is Written. And so we got their cards with names and addresses. So he gave the cards to me and said, I want you to go see if you can start some Bible studies. Now, I'm going to be honest with you today. I'm going to tell you a secret about Pastor Michael. Do you want a little secret? You want to know a secret about me? Here's my secret. I am not shy. It's shocking. I was afraid someone might fall out of the balcony on that one. I'm not a bashful person. It's not in me. So I took these cards, drove to the first house, turned the car off, sat in the car, looked at the handle to the door, car door. Then I looked up at the front door of the house. And I looked back at the car door handle. And I looked back up at the house. And I couldn't get out of my car. I said, man, what's wrong with me? Oh, I better pray, right? I better pray. So I began praying. And I said, Lord, should I go and knock on that door? And the answer came. What do you think the answer was? The answer was, go. And so I replied back, I don't want to. So I kept talking to God. I said, Lord, you know, it's the afternoon right now, and no one's probably home. They're probably at work. I can go, and I can come back. What do you think about that? The answer came again. Go. I thought, but what if they're sleeping? They might be an afternoon nap. How rude would that be to go and wake someone up from an afternoon nap? I don't think this is a good idea. The answer came again. Go. And I thought, well, maybe I should call first. You know, I could go home and I could call, and then we could arrange a time, and that would be better than just showing up unannounced. And the answer came again, Michael, go. Is it all right? So I opened the door. I walked up the front steps to the door. And I knocked on it, and it opened. About that much. A suspicious fellow poked his head out. So I introduced myself. I told him who I was, and I was with It Is Written, and he'd ordered a book, and I wanted to see if he wanted to start Bible studies. And he replied, thank you, no. Boom, slammed the door. You were expecting a big miracle story, weren't you? He slammed the door, and I looked at that door, and I thought, well, if that's the worst that can happen, I can handle this. Let's do this, Lord. So I went to the next card, and I kept going, and I kept going around, and pretty soon I started up Bible studies all around town. While I was at school, I was doing 10 Bible studies a week most times. But I had to be willing to go. Now, friends, here's where we're going to have a little congregation participation before we're done today. I want you to raise your hand if you believe that God is still calling his church today to go. Go ahead and raise your hands up high. Let's see them. Very good. Now, folks, realize going is in all sorts of ministries. It's not just knocking on doors. Going has many forms, and we're going to study that in the weeks to come. It's not just one. But again, I want you to raise your hands now. Raise your hand. No, not yet. You don't know what you're raising your hand for, Adam. Thank you for listening, though. Raise your hands if you think giving Bible studies is a crucial part to a healthy, growing church. Raise your hands. Keep them up this time. Keep them up. Very good. I want you to see those hands. Now, don't set them down here because I have a video camera right here. So keep those hands up. Some of you are putting your hands down. What are you doing? Okay, you can put your hands down. Why did some of you were like, yeah, whoa. Video evidence. Going from door to door can be scary, can't it? Giving Bible studies can be scary. So even though we know that we're supposed to go, and we know that we're supposed to share God's word, and we're supposed to do ministry, there are times deep down, have you ever thought, Pastor, can't you and Pastor Andy just take care of all the Bible studies? Well, we could. The two of us working together, we could probably get all of Lincoln by about 2090. Maybe. So friends, yes, we can do Bible studies. And no, we can't. But there is a new way that you and I can work together to give Bible studies. Would you like to learn what that's going to be like? I want to invite you to watch this short video, just a real short video of a new program that our church is starting. If you'd watch this with me, I want you to see how maybe you and I can work together on something.
Hi, my name is Chris Holland. As the speaker director of It Is Written Canada, I am in front of the camera a lot, talking to thousands of people each week. But I've just had what I consider to be a revolutionary experience. These last few days, I've had the opportunity to be recorded and inserted into a brand new video Bible study series, Thunder in the Holy Land. This video series is beautiful, professional, and very engaging with on-location footage of the Holy Land. But what makes it the most revolutionary to me is the deeply spiritual content. This Thunder series doesn't merely share a bunch of doctrinal facts. in a way that is most encouraging, it puts the doctrines of Jesus in the context of practical Christian living. I was especially moved by the practical insights on repentance. Charles Bird, along with the entire Questline Productions team, are a delight to work with. I'd like to invite you as colleagues to come be a part of the Thunder Pastor family. I invite you to do something revolutionary for the spreading of the gospel in your community.
I wanted to introduce this ministry to you. The Kansas Nebraska Conference is sponsoring me to go to Tennessee here in the beginning of June, and I'm going to do this video capture as well, where they can insert me into this DVD series, Thunder in the Holy Land. And at the end of it, we actually get the licensing rights to these sets of DVDs. We can make as many copies of these DVDs as we want. And then you can use them to do Bible studies right in your own home. That's what you were seeing there with the people talking to each other. So you don't have to knock cold on a door. You can invite the people that you already know. Your friends, your family, your fellow students, your coworkers. And folks, you don't have to worry about knowing all the answers or doing all the sermon prep. Just take me with you and plug me into the DVD. And we'll work together on this. Friends, I'm excited about this opportunity because I think this is something that can change our church. There are churches who have started using these Thunder Bible study groups, and their baptisms have been growing. Places where they weren't having baptisms before, baptisms are happening. And what's even better is the people who get baptized, who join, years later, they're still in the church because they got connected to the church members while doing the studies. And they're not imprinting on someone else. Some of our wonderful evangelists like Doug Batchelor or Dwight Nelson, they're getting to know the local pastor. That's what's great about this. So in these next few weeks, friends, we're going to be learning more and more about the church's mission today and what it looks like, because it's not just Bible studies, amen? That's just one piece. There's more to it. But right now, for today, I'd like to ask you to start praying and to start listening to God. Because after the resurrection in the Bible, God tells his people to go. After he's shown them what grace is, he says, go. Now, if you haven't figured out God's grace, don't go, because you'll do damage. If you don't know and understand God's love and his grace, you go back to the cross and hang out there and at the empty tomb until you understand it. But once you understand it, the command is go. My friends, is God calling you to go? Maybe God is calling you to go overseas. Will you go? Or maybe God is calling you not to go overseas, but to maybe just go across the street. And that might be scarier. But we need not fear, because our resurrected Savior is with us. Amen? He promised to be until the very end. He promised to send his Spirit to help us. So please, I want to invite you to start praying about who God may be calling you to go to. And as you're praying about people, make a list. As God brings those names to mind, start writing those names down and start praying for people that you know. Then once our DVD series is ready, be listening and be ready for when God says to you and me, the mission still needs to be fulfilled. I want to invite you to start praying about who God may be calling you to go to. And as you're praying about people, make a list. As God brings those names to mind, start writing those names down and start praying for people that you know. Then once our DVD series is ready, be listening and be ready for when God says to you and me, the mission still needs to be fulfilled. I still need people who will go. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much, Lord, that you entrust the most amazing news in the world to human beings, to us. And Lord, someone in our past, years ago, Somebody heard the call go, and they went. And that helped us be here today. Lord, there are people now in the world waiting for one of us, for all of us, to go. So encourage us, Lord, that you'll walk every step of the way, that it'll be a joy, that we'll go out like the women rejoicing to go and tell others of a risen Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.